Welcome, tea friends. This is Barb Gully from Barb's Tea Service. This is our third podcast of Barb's Tea Service Presents, But First Tea, courtesy on TV Studios. And I'd like to introduce my special guest, Chris Gully.
Here I am.
So he's here to share some of his tea and telescope expertise, as well as much needed tech support.
Nice.
Okay. And today we're going to talk about some really amazing things we did this past weekend. The solar eclipse, our visit to a new tea room, well, new to us, and a teapot scandal.
Yikes.
Also, if we have time, I'd like to share a little etiquette tip for the week.
Nice. Very good.
All right.
I think I like it.
All right.
Okay.
Chris approved. Okay. But first, tea. Okay. So today we are brewing up some eclipse tea. And this is from Blue Monkey. Never heard of it before, this tea company. And this was a referral from Glenn. Thank you. And we're trying it today. It boldly states on the label, taste the darkness.
Now, did you order it directly from the supplier, or how did you get it?
I did. I ordered it online.
Okay.
And this was part of my Eclipse Kitsch collection.
Nice, yes.
And it's to commemorate our solar eclipse adventure.
And it was an adventure.
It was an adventure. So I'm taking a little sip of that today. Mm-hmm. So this is black tea, and it has cinnamon, blue pea flower, mm-hmm. and star anise.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
Spicy?
It's got, yeah, I can pick up the cinnamon and then some other stuff. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Has a nice, a bit of astringency to it.
Yes.
Kind of, you know, clears the mouth, and that's always a good thing.
It is. And it, when you see it in the package, cause this is loose tea, you see the big, the star, mm-hmm. yep. all the ingredients. Right. So it looks very fresh. And I'm just curious, Chris, do you think this captures our adventure with the solar eclipse?
I think it does.
In a cup.
That's right.
All right. So this week, I should just let everybody know what we did. This weekend, we headed down to Findlay, which is a two-hour drive south for us.
Right.
To be in the path of totality.
That's been our new favorite phrase the last week, hasn't it?
It is. And I've turned it a little bit to call it our path of totality.
Okay, go with that.
But we went with your astronomy group, right. And we went with family and friends. We had about a team of 10 in our individual group, and you brought out your telescope,
yep.
and your camera,
yep.
and you want to tell us a little bit about what that was like?
Well, yeah, so this is so I joined a group called the Oakland County Astronomy Group. I've got some gear that I'm anxious to kind of start using. So, and then recently I got a DSLR, Canon 35 millimeter camera, and got the, it's just geek and nerd city here. And did some practice run throughs before the eclipse. And then, but this thing had been kind of in the works for about a year.
Right.
We were advised by the people who run the club, hey, get your room like now. Now being like, February of last year.
Right.
And just as a little sidebar, what we found out was hotel rooms, VRBOs, Airbnbs somehow for some reason doubled in price as the eclipse date came closer, so it was you had a good portion of the population of the U.S. kind of squeezed into maybe a, I don't know, a 60-mile wide path through the continental United States. But it was it worked out. We were at a campsite. It was very well. We had plenty of room, and it wasn't like overcrowded there. So it was a good experience. And so, yeah, we had about almost 4 minutes of totality.
Right.
I was able to get some nice pictures, and I'm kind of playing with processing that. But so that was our adventure. We decided to stay another night. But we learned from, you know, friends and family, it was a bit of an arduous trip home for them on that evening to try and get home, because them and half the United States was trying to get out of there. So,
right.
So then, but we took that opportunity then, I think you can talk about it, as we hit a nice tea room on the way back.
We did. So I just want to go over a couple of the points that you mentioned. One was the maybe price gouging,
yeah,
of some of these hotels. We had a very nice one, and we had booked a year in advance. We had one sort of, it was a hotel with red carpet experience.
That's right.
But it wasn't really red carpet. And they charged one couple in our group an inordinate amount of money. So it was kind of a little.
Yes. It was the price of waiting too long.
Yes. But also the campsite was wonderful. I had visions of Woodstock, and this was just very nice and orderly, easy in, easy out. So one thing I do want to mention before we talk about the tea room, though, is that I'm drinking the tea in my Warren G. Harding tea mug.
Yes. Yes. That was a little side trip while we were down there.
It was. We sort of made this a mini vacay. So we went down a little bit early. We stayed a little bit later after the eclipse. And we took a short drive, maybe about 50 minutes, 40 minutes, down to Marion, Ohio.
Right.
To see the home of Warren G. Harding and the Presidential Library.
Right.
And I am in a quest to hit all the president's homes / libraries. Those are the only two criteria that I adhere to.
And to purchase the tea, if they have it, in the gift shop.
Right, and a mug.
And a mug, and other things like that.
Exactly. So, again, it's kind of this strict criteria that I'm sticking to, because we visited places where maybe the president had stopped,
right,
you know, stayed,
right,
dinner. No.
Doesn't count.
Doesn't count. So this was the Warren G. Harding, and it was within reach. And this, I think this tops me at 7.
Nice.
So, yeah, you know, only
A few more to go.
Yeah, a few more. So I had done Mount Vernon, although I was a kid. I was 10. I don't know if that counts, but Mount Vernon. We did FDR in Hyde Park.
Mm-hmm.
We did Jackson in Nashville.
Right.
Gerald Ford, which is in our home state, Michigan.
Right. Grand Rapids, yep.
And Taft in Cincinnati, and McKinley,
yep,
in Canton. So a lot in Ohio. We can check a lot off of those. So I think that the trip to the Warren G. Harding house was very interesting. And what I learned, I think most of us associate Warren G. Harding with the Teapot Dome scandal.
Right.
And kind of
coincidentally named Teapot.
Yes. So
that's our tea connection.
That is our tie-in. Absolutely. And I think most people know that there was this dark cloud around his administration.
Right.
But what I learned that I didn't know before was it didn't really get associated with Harding until after he died.
Right. And so he died in office of a heart attack. And
rather young.
Yeah. He's late 50s. Yeah.
Right. Right. So the Teapot Dome scandal was about some secret leasing of federal oil reserves.
Two friends and family of certain high-ranking government officials, yes.
Right.
It was frowned upon.
Yeah, it was frowned upon. So this is also, I think, an interesting little tidbit. That was the biggest political scandal ever in the U.S.
Right.
And it was only surpassed by
Watergate. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And prior to Watergate, Teapot Dome was used synonymously with any kind of scandal.
Yeah, major scandal. Yeah,
major scandal. So that would have been, I'm not exactly sure how they applied it, if they said, oh, there's another Teapot Dome scandal.
Right.
Or if they put it at the beginning.
Right.
Or like gate.
Yes.
As a suffix.
Suffix, yep. Mm-hmm.
But last week we talked about a scandal.
Yes.
And it involved Sconegate.
That's right.
This was strictly an infight in England.
Right.
Between the folks in Cornwall and the folks in Devon. Mm-hmm. They disagree on the order of what they put on their scone.
Right.
So in Devon, they do cream, then jam.
Yep.
Cornwall?
Yep.
I think you did. Oh, we have a mic problem here.
Go ahead.
Okay. Oh,
here, all right, it's back. Okay.
Oh, you're back. Yep. Okay, good. Because
yeah.
I'm not doing the monologue, although sometimes it seems like it. Anyway, so in Cornwall, they do jam, then cream.
Right.
And so there was this big feud, and last week's podcast talks about it in detail.
Yep.
But it was referred to as Sconegate.
Yep.
So can you imagine if we hadn't had Watergate?
How would we refer to major scandals? I mean, with that shorthand. It's very laborious now, would be laborious and kind of hard to put Teapot Dome around some, describe something. So I guess in a way, thank goodness that all happened.
Well, I agree with you. Well, maybe not. Maybe we would like to not have had that happen in our history, but think of it how it would have applied so well to Sconegate.
Yes.
Teapot Dome Scone.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. So there you have it.
All right.
Okay. So I do want to mention that we do have a blog about our solar eclipse experience, barbsteashop.blogspot.com.
Yep.
And also, we're going to cover, we have another blog story this week on our visit to the tea room that you mentioned.
Right.
So we took a little detour to Adrian, Michigan.
Yep.
And we had tea at the Governor Croswell Tea Room.
Right.
And what did you think of that tea room?
Well, so here's kind of a guy's view of that. Yeah, as you know, we've been to a lot of tea rooms, and occasionally these places kind of get over Victorianized. I think I just made that word up, but it's a lot of tchotchkes and a lot of stuff on the wall. And what I liked about this place, is well laid out, well lit, it had kind of the right amount of decor on the walls. It wasn't overdone, and so that was I liked that. Just as a look. However, they did still have their Christmas decorations up, but that was so. Anyway, I'm not sure what that was all about, but. They should take them down.
I agree. That was the part that, I think I took the last of mine out
right.
a few weeks ago.
Right.
So
right.
I'm a holdout.
Right.
Yeah, this is time to go.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting place. It was the
service was very attentive and the food was good. So you had the afternoon tea with three trays. A guy's point of view is these are also in general a good place to just get a sandwich,
right.
If that's all you want, something lighter, because that's kind of what they make, and they're some of them they had some really nice selections there, and I enjoyed my lunch there.
You did, and then they had an extensive tea menu,
right?
So all kinds of blends. No surprise, I had Earl Grey, but
right.
you ventured out.
I had their house specialty. It was a cinnamon and orange flavored black tea, and it had kind of a natural sweetness to it. With the Earl Grey, I'll do milk and sugar. This I didn't have to put anything in it, and it went very well with what I was eating, and it was very enjoyable.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad you're more adventurous. I took a little sip and I thought it was very good.
Yeah.
Be great for the fall too, yes. I thought of. But this building, so it's over 100 years old,
right.
The tea room's in. And it had an interesting history. It had housed a millinery retail shop.
Right.
So where they make the hats.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, there was a jeweler, there was a high-end home decor.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2010, this couple bought it.
Mm-hmm.
He was an Adrian native.
Yep.
And they wanted to, their dream was to have this tea room there.
Right.
And they named it after a very famous Adrian citizen.
Right. Governor Croswell.
Right. 17th governor of Michigan.
Right. Amazing. And there you go.
Yep. So we went there after our telescope weekend.
Right.
What did we learn from our waiter?
Well, so we were chatting up the waiter, friendly guy and, again, very attentive, but, we were asking kind of history, and we learned that the previous owners had retired and sold the business to, coincidentally, local business that produced telescope and astronomical, observatory class type of stuff. He mentioned that the owners were actually down in Findlay. Again, coincidentally, at some campsite, we could have been neighbors. Don't know. for the eclipse. So we drove by it just to check it out. I was tempted to go in, but I thought my credit card wouldn't like it. So.
Thank you. That shows restraint.
Yeah.
Okay, so we also wrote about that in the blog, so you can see that in detail.
Right.
And since we have some time, I also want to share an etiquette tip.
Right.
So last week we also mentioned the book that we have,
mm-hmm.
12 Etiquette Essentials, Formal Dining and Tea Etiquette.
Right.
And that's this book right here.
Yep.
And in it, I mentioned last week about the broad appeal. We have afternoon tea etiquette.
Right.
But not just that.
Right.
Talk about business lunches, what's a finger food, how to set a formal table.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I'd like to talk about how to give a proper toast.
Yes. So that was a Wikipedia hole that we kind of ventured into why do we call it a toast? I didn't know.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so why do we call it that? Okay. Enlighten.
Well, yeah. Well, so accounts vary.
Okay.
Yeah, English is a fun language in that we'll pick up terms and words for just about anything, and no one has really any idea why we do that. So, in general, toast was literally, brown bread, toasted bread was something one would back a long time ago would put in their drink, wine, whatever, to kind of help take out impurities and bitterness and that sort of thing. So that was kind, according to Merriam-Webster, was a kind of the origin of that. So that evolved through, a few iterations. We won't go through in detail here because it's weird. But to give someone to toast someone is to give someone an honor before drinking your beverage.
Okay, so it does have its origins in actual toast.
Yeah, burnt bread. Who knew?
I didn't. Thank you. So. In our book, we talk about the proper protocol, the etiquette of a toast, not the origin. So thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
So there are really three different types of toasts.
Right.
Okay. There is the first toast that the host can give.
Right.
And that's to welcome their guests.
Right.
So this could be for dinner. It could be for brunch. It could be for afternoon tea.
Yes.
And when the host is giving the welcoming toast,
mm-hmm.
they remain seated.
Yep.
They don't stand.
Right.
Okay. So the second toast can come before dessert.
What?
No. So here, the host may stand up and give a toast to the guest of honor.
Right.
And everyone will raise their glass and drink to the guest of honor.
Without toasted bread, of course.
Oh, yeah. I think that... thanks for pointing that out. And
you're welcome.
But the guest of honor does not raise his or her glass or drink at this toast.
Yep.
Do you know why?
Why?
Well, because the toast is in their honor, it would be rather self-congratulatory to participate in that. Say, wow, I am wonderful.
Well, this is true, but yes.
But what that guest of honor can do is after the host has done their toast, they can do a reciprocal toast.
Yes.
So they can stand and they can propose a toast of their own.
Yep.
And if other guests feel the need, they can all take their turns.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think, and this isn't the book, but just kind of take some visual cues.
Yeah, right.
If there are 10 people and maybe 5 people have done their toast.
Yeah. Put a lid on it.
That's, especially if dessert is
That's
waiting.
That's right. Yeah, no. Come on.
I'd be like, can we wrap things up?
Right.
Okay. So that is a little bit of toasting protocol.
Nice. Okay.
All right. So that is, we kind of covered all our ground.
Yep.
And the Warren G. Harding blog will be in next week's blog.
Mm-hmm.
And I think.
Oh, yep. Here we go.
Oh, I do hear it now. So that is the tea kettle saying cheers.
That's right.
It's time to wrap up.
All right.
And we want to thank everybody for listening. Again, we want to thank On TV for allowing us to be in their studios and recording.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to hear from you. We've got some special guests lined up.
Yes, this is very exciting.
It is very exciting. And if you have more comments, we'd love to hear them.
Yep.
And our email address is barb@barbsteaservice.com.
All right.
So I want to thank Chris for, again, being that special arm candy, tech support, and sharing your stories with us.
And I also push buttons.
You do. All right.
Literally and figuratively.
You do. All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right.
And we appreciate you staying tuned.
Nice. Okay.